This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Micah, and we continue our study through the book of Micah, and today we're at chapter 3. And the Lord is speaking to Israel, and specifically to the spiritual and political leaders of Israel, through Micah. And although Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah, still what we see is that Micah spoke to the common Israelite, where, as we mentioned before, Isaiah was of the priestly heritage and had access to the priestly and political leadership of Israel, a position that Micah did not possess. But yet God used Micah, and he's going to speak out against those that are in spiritual leadership in the portion of Scripture that we're going to be looking at today. And so let's begin by looking at Micah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. When shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them? He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves all in their doings. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore, a night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over you, the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray ye, for ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money, yet will they lean upon the Lord, and say, Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps and mountain of the house of the high places of the forest." Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to see that Satan's tactics really don't change in leading people astray and causing people harm. And Father, that he often seeks to use the leadership and lead them astray so that they can harm and prevent the people from hearing and knowing the truth. Help us to have discerning spirits and see how these things are happening in the day in which we live. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, as you look at these particular verses, you see two things that are a common thread: political injustice and religious heresy. These are the two themes that are constantly running through Israel whenever her people turn away from God. And the first thing that Micah deals with in this particular chapter is the political injustice. And the political injustice is evident in the way that the leadership abuses and uses the people for their own causes and really to fill their own stomachs. It's a pretty graphic illustration he gives as how these men are using them. They're literally causing the people of Israel to be put to death for their own gain. And it's, if you stop and look at, that's exactly what's happening in the day in which we live. People are being put to death for political gain, and they're being told how that they're so concerned about their well-being. At the same time, they're stealing all their inheritance and money, and really resulting in what's going to be eventually not only emotional and spiritual death, but really physical death amongst many people. This is exactly what the leadership of Israel was doing. It says, he starts out and he says, "Here I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment?" In other words, they felt like they were above the law. And they weren't accountable to God at all, because look at who we are. Look at the positions of power we possess. Who can touch us? No one can touch us. And that's what is felt by many people, even in our government today. If you look at justice seems to have no merit in our government. People can do exactly what they want to do, break the law in any way they want to break it. As long as you don't do what's right, you're fine. And nobody's ever going to do anything to you. You look at the Durham report has been under process for just about 3 years now, and he's had two indictments of underlings, and that's all we've heard from the Durham report. Yet if you look at what's going on in our government then and now, the lies that we're told about our former president, the cover-ups that are told about our current president, the things, the extortion, the lies, the money laundering, the money that was gained, and yet there is no justice, there is no consequence, and they feel they're above the law. And this has been what's happening in our government, and it's interesting, way back I heard a man say, and I never really thought about it, that President Eisenhower was probably one of the best presidents we had. And I never really thought about President Eisenhower. But President Eisenhower said that we needed to look out for the military establishment, and really today they'd be called the technocrats, those of industry that want to rule and reign and feel that they're above the law and can do what they want to do, all for gain and money. And that's exactly what we see. There's Billy Crone is a pastor in Las Vegas, Nevada, and he has talked a lot about the technocrats as well as artificial intelligence, and how that the technocrats want to use artificial intelligence and that people are expendable. And they think that they know better, because look at, we're so smart and we've got all this technology that we've developed, and we'll use it to destroy people. And it's fine to do that. Well, they didn't have the technology back there, but they had the same philosophy. We're above the law. That's what it amounts to. We're accountable to no one. What made America different from any other nation in the history of the world is that when our nation was founded, all men were created equal, was part of the stance of our Constitution and the laws that we established, and that no man stood above any other man, and that there wasn't to be a king in America or a royal class, and we weren't to have a class system, but all men were created equal, and all men stood accountable to God, whether you were the President of the United States or somebody sweeping streets in a city of America. You still stood accountable to God for your actions, your thoughts, and you would one day be totally accountable to Him. And unless you knew His Son, Jesus Christ, you would pay for the penalty for your sin. And that was really the foundation. Many of the early constitutional signers and the independence of Declaration of Independence signers were Christians, and they understood and believed this. Well, Israel should have known this. And the ones that should have known it were these two people that Micah is speaking to. First of all, the leaders. Why should the leaders have known it? Well, they were supposed to be leading as David had led. If you look throughout the history that's contained in the Old Testament of the kings of Israel, you know that they're always compared to David. If they're a good king, they're a king after their father David. If they're a bad king, they're not a king after David. Why was David the standard of what a good king was? Because first of all, David was a man after God's own heart. David understood his own position of sinfulness and frailty in the eyes of God. And when David sinned, David became accountable to God for his sin. Unlike many of the bad kings of Israel who felt no accountability to God at all. And that was one of the main reasons that David was a standard and a measure of what it was to be a good king. Second thing is David trusted in the Lord, and David sought God's counsel in most things he did. There were some times where he sinned and didn't seek God's counsel. We all know those accounts. But the thing is, he was constantly seeking God's counsel. And you read that in the Psalms and see that David cried unto the Lord and would bring his troubles to the Lord, would bring his joys to the Lord. He'd seek the Lord's direction and he'd cry out to the Lord for the Lord's help. That made David different from the other kings, including his son Solomon, who said when God asked him, "What is the one thing you want? And I'll give you anything that you ask of me." And Solomon said, "Wisdom." And God said, "You have chosen wisely and to seek wisdom." But the problem was Solomon did not always follow in the footsteps of his father David. And he allowed much idolatry to creep into Israel. And really it had an influence throughout when the nation was split after his rule into Judah and Israel. It had influence over both countries, the idolatry that he began to allow in during his reign. But we see David never allowed idolatry. It was always the worship of the Lord. It was always focusing on God. He called, and David had a very close relationship with the priests, and he honored the priests as being men of God. And he, even from when he was fleeing, or before he was even king, when he was fleeing Saul, when he was fleeing from Saul, he had a relationship with the priests, and he would go to the priests for help. Why? Because he honored the priest, and he sought that the priests would worship God properly. And he also knew that the priests were responsible for leading the nation of Israel in worship of the Lord. So under David, there was this strong bond of the religious and the political, but it was all focused and under God and his direction. It didn't happen very often in the history of Israel, and there were some good kings after their father David, Josiah, Hezekiah, a couple of them started out well and finished bad. But the thing is, they're all compared to David. Well, at the time that Micah is preaching, these are not comparable to David because they seek to use the people and they aren't there to serve the people. The other thing you'll find with David is he had a servant's heart. And he was constantly, for example, the story of Abigail and her husband was a wicked man. But David went out and protected his sheep from robbers and thieves, protected his shepherds from them, the same. And we see that David had a servant's heart. And all he asked for was that his men could receive what was due them, some food, and pay for doing that. David also did that for more than just in that situation, but many times, helping people and seeking to be there to serve people. So that was David's heart. These people have no servant's heart. These political leaders of Israel, this ruling class, all they see is a way that they can gain power and money at the expense of their people. And it says here that who do eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. That's pretty graphic example that he gives there. They weren't literally being cannibals, but they could have just as well. Because what they were doing is they were preventing his people from even making a livelihood, because they'd take all that they had. And it would result in these people literally not having anything and really suffering physically because of it. He goes on and he says, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. And he will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves in ill in their doings. So what Micah is saying is these leaders are going to, there's going to come a day where they're going to cry unto the Lord, where they're going to have their problem. And we all know what that problem was. It was going to be a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to be showing up very shortly in these people's lives. And he was going to be taking both the wealthy and the poor into captivity. And then all of a sudden, these who had been gaining all their wealth and their power and their position at the expense of those that they were ruling over would cry unto God and say, deliver us! And God would say, well, why should I? You've got it coming. My judgment's upon you because of what you've done. And we know that the ruling class was taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, and he did that. But it wasn't just the politicians of Israel's day that were the problem. It was the religious leaders. And in some ways, this is even a greater problem than the politicians. Just like in our day, religious leaders speaking heretical doctrine and that which isn't true and trying to make merchandise of God's people is even more disgusting than political leaders who are doing the very same thing. Why? Because they profess that they have the truth. The politicians, they don't even say they've got the truth. They bold-faced in our day, they're even bold-faced coming out and saying, we don't want anything to do with the truth. We'll do what we want to do. But the religious leaders, they still profess that they represent God. That's what it was during the day of David. He says here, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. How do you make his people err? They teach them wrong. They give false prophecies. These people trust in these men because they put on the air of being religious. They put on the air of standing for God and his word. But really what they're speaking is a prophet after the type of Balaam, who for money would sell out Israel. And that's exactly what these people are doing. For money, they'd sell out these people. And so they'd teach heresy just for an opportunity to gain money. They err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. What does he mean by that? Well, when they bite, what is he saying is they're grabbing, they're trying to take and eat that from the people. They're trying to gain their wealth and pay from the people. And he goes on and where it says here, and they cry peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, even they prepare war against him. They bring this false prophecy, and they're saying, now that we've prophesied, pay us. We want our pay. And if you're not going to pay us, what we're going to do is put a curse on you. We're going to condemn you. There are many people that are false prophets in the church almost do the same thing today. They put guilt trips upon people. If you don't send your money in, you're not going to receive the blessing of God. That's exactly what they were doing. And there's been TV evangelists, TV quote prophets, that come out and say, well, you've got to send money to us because we're proclaiming God's word. We need you to send the money, and if you don't, you won't receive God's blessing. Or send your $100 in, we'll send you this handkerchief, and that'll be a blessing from the Lord, and all you've got to do is put this handkerchief, and we've prayed over that handkerchief, so God's blessing will be in your home. There are bizarre things like this, and really, and if you don't send us any money, you won't get the blessing of God, you won't get the handkerchief, you won't get the holy water, you won't get whatever I'm sending out this week, some olive oil from the Holy Land, you won't get it, so you won't get God's blessing. Well, God never says that our receiving a blessing from Him is contingent upon us doing something and then we receive the blessing. No, we receive the blessing in spite of the fact of what we've done, but then after we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive the greatest blessing of all, and that is the power of His Spirit indwelling in us so that we in turn can bless other people. But it's not contingent upon anything we do or say. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and that ye shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. He's saying they're not going to have any message to give. How can you say that you're representing God and then be a liar and be someone who's extorting people? And so he says, because of that, the shades are going to go out. You know, one of the things that you need to look at is the unction of the Lord upon preaching. Is God's unction upon preachers? If His unction isn't upon the preacher, what does that mean? The lights have gone out. And you're seeing a lot of people today that proclaim to be speaking in the name of the Lord, but there's no unction in their message. There's no Spirit of God speaking through them, because they have become extortioners for their own position and glory. Verse 7, then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Because there can't be an answer. And what we have today is we don't have prophets where the Lord comes and says, thus saith the Lord through a man, but we have the Word of God. And you've got people that don't know how to handle the Word of God, don't know how to break the Word of God, don't know how to teach the Word of God, don't know how to interpret the Word of God, and yet they claim to be God's people and God's preachers. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and Israel his sin. And so Micah is saying, I now have this problem because God's Spirit resides in me. And I'm speaking not with my own words, and not for my own edification, and not for my own glorification. I am speaking by the authority of the Lord, that His message may be brought to His people. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and the princes of the house of Israel, abhor judgment and pervert all equity. Again, he's speaking to the politicians and the leaders, political leaders, and he's saying, what are the two things that they do? They abhor judgment. In other words, they don't want to deal with what's right and wrong. They don't want to examine what's right or wrong. In our nation today, one of the things you have to look at is people abhor judgment. They don't want anything to do with judgment. They don't want to look at what's right and wrong. And not only do they abhor judgment, the other thing is they prefer pervert equity. In other words, there's a different set of scales and balances. In the book of Proverbs, it says one of the things that God's hate is an unjust scale and balance. What was an unjust scale and balance? During the time of Jesus, this was one of the great things that the Sadducees would do, is they'd have an unjust set of scales. And you get these people from the country, you know, the country bumpkin cousins that would come in to the temple to worship. And they come in and they want to pay to buy their lamb. And they have an unjust set of scales. And so they'd have a weight on there. And then they'd put the person's money on there to weigh how much silver, how much gold, or how much copper, whatever they were using for coinage, how much would be weighed on there. And they'd have one scale for someone that they knew understood scales and weights. They'd have another set of scales and weights for someone that they thought we can pull one over on them. And what they'd do is they'd have these weights would look the same. It's just that one would be the correct one and the other one would be a false set of weights. So you'd have to put more money on there. You'd have to put more on there to get the thing to balance because the weight wouldn't be right. And God says, I abhor that. And yet that's exactly what he's saying that these people would do. They pervert equity. They treated people different. In our country, do we treat people different? If you have a lot of money in our nation, are you more likely to get off in court than if you don't have any money at all? The answer is yes. Because you can afford, if you have a lot of money, you can afford a lawyer that understands the law. If you don't have a lot of money, you're given somebody who just got out of law school, doesn't know anything, and yet it's supposed to be an equitable system. It's not equitable. Because it's weighed heavily in favor of those that have a lot of money and would know the law. And so consequently, God hates that. And he says, money, they build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Boy, is that true in our day? They build up, that same thing is happening today. This is a pattern of Satan throughout history. How does Satan build up a country? With blood and iniquity. If you look at what's happened right now in Afghanistan, we pulled out all our troops and then we started to pull out the civilians. Totally opposite of what's ever been done in the history of our country. First time we've ever tried to do that. It makes no sense. It resulted in 13 of Marine and Navy enlisted people being killed. Who knows how many U.S. citizens and Afghan Christians and others were killed because of what was done. And if you look at what's happening, China's moving in. And I just read an article that there's a deal where our current president's family owns 10% of this Chinese company, and this Chinese company is coming into Afghanistan, and they are going to be the ones that control all of the minerals that are the rare minerals that are only found in Afghanistan, many of which need to be used for lithium batteries. And what's being promoted in the U.S. now? Everybody's got to have an electric car. Well, you've got to have a lithium battery for an electric car. Afghanistan is one of the only countries in the world that has the rare mineral to get this, and China's going to be controlling it now, and the Biden family will have 10% of control of that company that will control China. But it has nothing to do with the political decisions that were made, you understand. No, they're ruling by blood and iniquity. By blood and iniquity. God hates it. Hated it in Israel, hates it today. But that's what Micah said about the leadership in Israel. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire. Okay? So they judge for reward. In other words, they make their political decisions, and they make their legal decisions on how much is in it for me. Should that ever be the reason that I make a decision? How much is in it for me? Not if you're a believer in trusting God. The Jewish people, the nation of Israel, was supposed to be believing and trusting in God. But what their leadership was doing is they were looking at what's in it for me, not what is right before God. And so consequently, that was the first question out of their mouth. What's in it for me? How much am I going to get paid? What is going to be the results for me? And then he goes on, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they will lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. So what they would do is they would look and seek to teach and to prophesy for money. And the words that would come out of their mouth is, isn't God amongst us? Look at who we are. We're the priests. We're the prophets. And we're coming to tell you these things because God's amongst us. But they were liars. And they were seeking to do it only so because they could gain position and power and money because of the things that they were saying. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest. Because of these attitudes that the political and the religious leadership had and possessed in Israel, God was bringing judgment on Israel. And it was going to be plowed as a field. In other words, it was going to be totally... When you go out to plow, you just don't go over and go over the field a little bit so it's recognizable. No, you turn it, the ground totally upside down. And that's what God was going to do. Turn the ground totally upside down. He's going to plow the nation of Israel. Those that thought they had positions of power and leadership and what's in it for me were all of a sudden going to be finding themselves in captivity and under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And their power meant nothing. And their position, he could care less because he possessed the power and God was going to judge them. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the truths that you would have in store for us. Help to see that the same philosophies and same ways that Satan tries to deal with men and through men are being used today. And help us to seek to be used by you, not by him. And Lord, may we stand according to the truth of your word, not according to the lies of this world. Lord, now go with us and help us to be a witness and an ambassador of your love and mercy. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me...